Mike said he stirred my cup of water for me. He did well. I did have another announcement to make, as usual. I'll go into that in a second. Kathy texted me last night and let me know that her brother Mike Kenzie, JD and Yvonne's son Mike, fell off a ladder and shattered his heel. And so he's going to have surgery this Tuesday. I would imagine somewhere around Enid, or they live out there, don't they? So Edmund, so somewhere out west there, he'll have that surgery. So keep Mike and Becky and their kids, and of course JD and Yvonne and Kathy, in your prayers as well. That's kind of how things go for me. Sandy had called me Friday, or texted me Friday, and I want to emphasize Friday on that. And she said, "Have you already done the bulletin?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, can you put that announcement that we're having that shower next week, and I need a head count on people?" I said, "Oh yeah, I can do that." And yesterday morning, I sat down to do the bulletin, and I got through it, and I had a spot about that much left. I thought, "What am I forgetting? What am I forgetting?" Thought. And then I found a little note, and I said, "There it is. That's what I had forgot to put in the bulletin." And I put that little note in the bulletin, and I still had about that much room. So I grabbed a little piece of clip art, and I put that in the bulletin, and pressed the print button, and was so happy to have that over with for the week. And I got to 220, and I said, "I didn't put that announcement that Sandy just told me to put yesterday in the bulletin." So I had to call and fall on the sword to Sandy and apologize. So I'll say again, please RSVP with Sandy. So if not for yourselves, for me. I don't know that I'm out of the woods just yet. We're going to talk a little bit about the wisdom books, maybe some proverbs that didn't quite make it into the Bible. Age is a very high price to pay for maturity. If you're too open-minded, your brain could fall out. Artificial intelligence is no match for natural stupidity. If you must choose between two evils, pick the one that you've never tried before. Maybe that's not one to read from the pulpit. For every action, there is an equal and opposite government program. If you look like your passport picture, you probably need the trip. Bills travel through the mail at twice the speed of checks. Boy, that one really is true. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a mechanic. Men are from earth, women are from earth. We need to figure it out. And here is maybe the number one. No husband has ever been shot doing the dishes. So, right. Remember that one. Today we're going to continue our series of binge reading the Bible. We've been focusing on how God reveals His will and desires for mankind through each specific section of the Bible. Each genre, including the Pentateuch, the historical books, the wisdom literature, the prophets, the gospels, the epistles, the apocalyptic literature, they all provide a unique and special way for God to communicate throughout history that helps us as we understand the Bible as a whole. The genre that we will look at today is going to be the wisdom literature. Through this genre, God reveals His wisdom to humanity through a variety of creative forms so we can make decisions in a way that pleases Him. The issue of wisdom is essential for us because we talk a lot about knowing God's will for our life. But then it comes to that difficult task of knowing how to apply His will to our lives. Applying God's will in our life is where wisdom comes into play. Wisdom is defined as the quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with judgment, with just judgment as to action. Wisdom is more profound than knowledge, and it includes being able to apply the knowledge that you have. The five wisdom books in the Bible are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And these books, of course, are known as their poetic literature and highlight the spiritual and practical insights of God's people throughout history. These books are include things such as prayers and songs and poetry and wise sayings that are meant to teach the reader how to live a life for God in a wise manner. Each book highlights a particular angle of wise living based on a particular theme. For instance, the book of Job highlights wisdom through the perspective of suffering, while Proverbs highlights wisdom through the perspective of day-to-day living. And today we're going to be looking at that passage from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Many places within this section of the Bible explicitly teaches on the subject of what it means to attain wisdom. For instance, Proverbs 9:10 states that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And here we see that the most crucial trait to have in seeking wisdom in your daily life is that of fearing the Lord. And again, that fear of the Lord is to show reverence due to Him, due to a proper understanding of how great He is. Those who fear God understand His capabilities. However, when it comes to summarizing these five books, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 states that central theme. The passage today that we're going to look at is simple, but it is also one of the most challenging passages to integrate into one's life if, and that's a big if we do not understand the core principles this passage requires us to grasp. So let's look at, again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I feel like I ought to have this memorized, and I think maybe by the end of today, you all may have it memorized as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Well, the path that leads to trusting God, when you take a look at that verse at first glance, it just sounds so crisp and easy and clean and simple. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. That is one of the passages that has always stood out to me in recent years. Certainly, there was a time that I really didn't grasp the depth of this passage. I didn't dwell on the commitment that this passage asks of me. In my view, the linchpin of this passage is found in that first phrase, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And again, that phrase sounds pretty simple. It should sound comforting, but there is a command there, and let's look at it. If we are able to follow that command, I think we can receive a great blessing. That phrase, trust in the Lord, you'll find it all over in the book of Proverbs. And I've listed, I think, four occurrences there. The bold, of course, is mine. That phrase, that trust in the Lord and its close associate, fear the Lord, is fundamental to the definition of wisdom in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again, I want to be clear, this fear is knowing how awesome God is. And you can take every definition of fear and apply it to how we should view God. Scared, respectful, in awe. It's an awe of the above definition. But trusting God as the goal or the object means to regard Him as the source of wisdom and power in all things. And so therefore, God is worthy of our entire confidence. Now I'll kind of go off in the woods here. Trusting God has not always been easy. And I'm sure all of you all can say the same thing for me. Now, to me, it had been a very easy thing growing up. That's how I was raised. It was easy. But I will be honest with you. In 2012, when Travis died, my trust of the Lord went to about zero. How could that happen? And I'll put it from my own view. I worked for the 911 center at the time. I had talked to people who were looking at people that were dead, that I was able to talk to them, and that person, they were able to revive that person. I felt like with Travis, I had that same opportunity in person. Now, that wasn't the case. I want to be real honest with that. Travis was gone before I had got down to Mom and Dad's house. But that's not how I seen it. I seen it as I was going to have the opportunity. We all know that that wasn't the case, and that's all right. Travis is so much better off than we were. But I went down some, that verse talks about making your paths straight, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I went down some crooked paths, and I had a difficult time in trusting God. And you fast forward that to 2 years ago, not too long after this date we're at now. And we seen how bad my dad was. We seen all of the obstacles he was up against. And I don't know, I can't tell you exactly what happened, all that happened over those times from 2012 to 2017, but trust didn't return in 2017. It was eventually, it was being restored day to day, hour by hour. And in 2017, when we looked at seeing what we were up against and what the ifs were, even the what ifs, were so bad. It was so bad. And it was so, and I don't know how you will take this, but I think we can all say when my dad died, it was comforting because of our trust in the Lord. The what ifs didn't compare with the reality of knowing that he was going to be perfect, that he was going to be in heaven. And so I say I didn't look at that verse the same way when I grew up as I look at that verse now. And maybe that kind of lets you in a little bit on that trusting the Lord. I don't know that I could say I trusted the Lord in 2012 like I do now, like I did in 2017, to know that this life, well, it is what it is. But that next life, we know what it contains and the perfectness and the wholeness and the beauty of it that doesn't compare. And so, again, the linchpin of that verse is found in that trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trusting God as the goal or the object means to regard Him as the source of wisdom and Him the power in all things. And so, therefore, He is worthy of our full confidence. Again, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The path that leads to trusting God, when you take a first glance at that look again, it looks pretty simple. And today, as we look at this passage, I want you to know that it has become one of my favorites. Many places within this section of the Bible teaches us that. And I'm gonna get back to where we belong here in just a moment. Got a little off in the weeds. The act of trusting God is sometimes figuratively said as putting your heart in the hands of someone else, or laying your liver on someone. Trust carries the force of relying on someone for security. That trust is not a blind trust, but that trust is built on something that allows us to know that we can trust God. And so this thought begs the question, what needs to happen before we can reach that point? What is the path that we need to follow to get to the point where we can trust the Lord with all of our heart?
And that phrase, with all of your heart, it means with all of your mind, with the full force of your mental faculties, to totally trust without reservation. And the first step is being able to trust God to this level, to where you know God. And typically, we don't put our trust in a person whose character we don't know. We have to take time to get to know God. And we get to know Him through the reading and the study of the Bible. God reveals Himself through the Bible. The Bible is not just a book of made-up stories, but rather the inspired Word of God. And without, I guess, going into a deep sermon on the reliability of the Word, as a Christian, I accept the Bible as the inspired Word of God. Psalms 9:10 tells us that those of you who know the name and put their trust in you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Trust requires us getting to know someone. And trusting God is no different. To the level you know God will be the level that you are willing to put your trust in Him. When you got to know your spouse, is when you truly were able to take that next step of love. That second step in the path to trusting God is to love God. When we talk about love at first sight, this is not the depth of love that will carry a person for better or worse, or for richer or poorer, in sickness and health. I thought 22 years ago that I loved Missy. However, every day she does something for me or for one of the kids or for someone that I don't know that makes me question if there is a bottom to the well of her kindness. So my love for her deepens every day that we are together. When we know the character of God, what makes God tick and how much God loves us, then we can truly love Him. The deeper the love, the more totally we trust. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ knew His Father as no creature could know Him. And His love being based upon that profound knowledge, His trust was entire. And His obedience was perfect, even in His darkest hours. And as you get to know and love God, your trust will grow. And so that leads us here to the effects of trusting God. That main effect of trusting God is that we gain an enormous level of confidence in Him. When we trust in God, this trust is going to have at least three effects on us. First, we're going to recognize and acknowledge His presence. We may be in the presence of a superior, and we know that we are in His presence, but if we do not go do that without acknowledging it, by showing Him the respect that is due Him, we virtually ignore His existence. A child whose behavior is not respectful of their parents practically ignores them. It is one thing to say that we believe in God. It is another thing entirely to acknowledge His existence by being obedient to Him. The second effect of trusting God is that you know He cares about you. When we trust Him, we trust His motives for us. We know God not only cares about the human race, but He cares about each one of us as individuals. And we tend to trust those that we know care about us. We tend not to trust those people who we know don't care about us. The third effect of trusting God is that we will then be able to lean upon Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will be able to make straight your paths. Verse 5 proclaims that the heart behind any wise decision is behind any wise decision that we can make, to trust God with your whole heart and to lean not on your own understanding. Our day-to-day experience in life are tied to our ability to make decisions and assess the consequences of those decisions. When we trust the Lord fully, it allows us to lean on Him. and not our own understanding or our own interpretation of things. That was the key in the book of Job, where we hear the story of a man who has experienced so much strife and loss and anxiety within just a very short period of time. And the only way that he was able to mentally and emotionally handle these events was Job's trust in God, and his trust that God had an ultimate plan other than the one that he and his friends could see or fathom or lean into. Not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting our affairs to God's guidance and his submission to his will happens only when we trust God fully. And this will be easy and natural in proportion to our knowledge and our love and our conviction that God will not think of any other concerns beneath his notice. Our submission will be in ratio to our confidence, and our confidence in proportion to our knowledge. In all your ways, know him. Acknowledge God is another way of saying that I will trust him enough to submit myself to his will, because I know that even if it's more challenging to do so, that God has my best interests at back in mind. And we'll look at one more thought here. The blessings of trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Let's read it at least one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This does not mean as Christians we will live a problem-free life, but rather that one's life will have a clear direction and a purpose. When Abraham set off on his journey, he didn't know where he was going, but he knew that God would lead him. Genesis 12:1 tells us that now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house and to the land I will show you. Well, in a way, God promised Abram that he would make his path straight. Making straight renders a verb that means to smooth out, to make level, or to remove any obstacle, preparing a roadway. That phrase denotes travel made safe by the clearing and leveling of the road. Making paths straight is also a form of guidance. Verse 6 there of Proverbs 3 tells us that when we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, he will direct our paths. To get to know the Lord in our process of living, we should observe his statutes and we should continually pray. And as we do so, God will continue to direct our paths. We cannot have any expectation for God to direct our paths if we never communicate with him. Trust, as we said, is not an easy thing to offer, particularly when we are inundated with TV and people that we listen to that are telling us not to trust anybody. Don't trust anybody or anything. It's easy when that's the life we've lived to make us skeptical of being able to trust anybody or anything, because we hear that and we know we've all been burned by someone or something that we've trusted. But when you get to know God, you will learn how much he loves you, and you will be able to develop a trusting relationship with him. When we need guidance or help with decision making, or are just experiencing some sort of suffering, we can use these wisdom books to help us learn how to live wisely. This morning, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. If you are a Christian and find yourself in need of prayers of this congregation and would like to make that known, now would be the opportune time as together we stand and we sing.